Hi, everyone. I'm so glad that you are joining me this week. We are in the sermon series, Spiritual Roots, and it is week three. All right, we just learned sign language, taking a sign language class with my kids, and this is three, not three. That's a W, three. Anyway, stick with me and you'll learn all kinds of fun things. Anyway, this is Spiritual Roots week three. Our core verse is in Colossians chapter 2. So grab your Bibles. Here we go. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving." So that is our core verse for this whole sermon series. And this series is designed to help build our faith and equip us to grow stronger in our faith by truly believing what God says about who He is, who we are, and who He has called us to be and what He has called us to do. We are focusing on Abraham. His faith and his failures rooted him deeply in fulfilling the call on his life. And here's the thing, we can have the same faith and we can make a world-changing difference when we trust in the Lord enough to follow Him to the place where He shows us to go. The last 2 weeks, we talked about, number one, faith for the future and faith after failure. This week, we are talking about faith for the fight. So I want you to grab your Bibles again. It's really a great sermon series. I'm learning a lot and growing up in church. Let's see. I've always been in church. And you know, you think you know a lot about what's going on and a lot about Abraham and Abram. But when you actually dig deep into it, you find out so much more. And I think, just a side note, God really can speak different things through different verses or the same verses in different times in your life. It's all about the season. It's all about where you are and where you are, your heart is postured to hear from the Lord and what He has to say. So grab your Bibles. We're going to Genesis chapter 13. And just an overview. Genesis chapter 13, that is where Abraham and Lot and their families were traveling together. And their cattle, their herds, their sheep, they were all eating on the same ground. They were running out of food. Things were getting a little uncomfortable. And so they decided to save their relationship. They decided to part ways. So Abraham and Lot, his nephew, they parted ways. Lot went east near Sodom, where the people there, they were really wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. And Abram at that time, not Abraham yet, Abram went west. We're going to pick up Genesis chapter 14, verses 1 through 16. So if you start reading in here, war had broken out. And verses 1 through 9, it is a bunch of kings and a bunch of names that I probably can't pronounce. And we'd be here for an hour and a half. But we're going to move through and we're going to start on verse 10. So follow with me. "As it happened, the valley of the Dead Sea was filled with tar pits. And as the army of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into the tar pits, while the rest escaped into the mountains. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils of war and food supplies. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew, who lived in Sodom, and carried off everything he owned. But one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abram, the Hebrew, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mamre, the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives, Eshcol and Anar," all these words, "were Abram's allies." So that's good. He had friends. Verse 14, "When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men," remember that, "who had been born into his household. Then he pursued a name I'm not even going to try to pronounce. We're just going to call him Big K. He pursued Big K's army until he caught up with them at Dan. Then he divided his men and attacked during the night. Big K's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Verse 16, Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. So jump on over to chapter 15, verse 1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." So that's the context that we are going to be speaking from today. And we're also going to talk about four principles that will help us grow deeper in our faith. So number one, our faith means preparation. You can't just sit there allowing or thinking that when tough times are going to come to you, that you're going to be able to bounce back like that and be strong and can make it through. You have to prepare your faith. It's a daily walk. It's a daily reading of your Bible. It's hiding His words in your heart. So when tough times come and you get squeezed in an uncomfortable place, those words, those promises, those truths come out. It's praising and worshiping Him. Because, you know, in our lives, if we focus on our problems, that's what's magnified. If we focus on God, He's magnified. You know, in the Old Testament, when the armies were going off into battle, the worshipers led them into battle. They paved the way. The praise and the worship broke down strongholds, supernatural strongholds that they didn't even see. And then the men went in and fought. So here's the thing about praise and worship, is that a lot of times, and there's a lot of songs, great songs out there, if you know, if you listen to the radio, but if you really, really listen, a lot of them are me-focused. God, me, when I'm buried in anxiety, when all these things, okay? So if you don't know, I'm over the worship department, and what we really, really try to do in our church is to stay vertical, is to stay God and Jesus-focused. And all those, though those songs are really good, and we incorporate a portion of them, we really try to stay God-focused and vertical with our worship and not so much inward. And that's a big key in our fight against the enemy. When things come and they try to get us down, you don't even have to sing a song, because that's just a part of praise and worship. If we turn our focus, turn our attention to the Lord, and you start saying, "God, you're great. God, you're wonderful. You have saved me. You love me. And I follow you no matter what comes my way. God, you can defeat the enemy, and I believe in you and trust in you." Remember, when we trust in the Lord, He can take us so far. "I trust in you because you are my shelter. You are my hiding place. You can get through anything because you focus on God as He's carrying you through this really tough time, and you are preparing your faith." And here's the thing, too, is that you can't wait until a trial comes. You can't wait until a battle comes. Abram didn't wait until his nephew Lot got captured and taken away to then say, "Oh, well, let's train for war. Let me grab these men." The thing is that when the war came and Lot was captured, Abraham grabbed 318 trained men to go and fight with him. So that's the key, the preparation before the battle comes. It's all about relationship here at this point. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil." Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Another scripture, Psalm 34:1, "I will praise the Lord at all times," says David. "I will constantly speak His praises." Now, I'm going to share a time with you that my husband and I had gone through a really, really hard time. And it was on in the month of March 2020, we had found out that we were pregnant and we were expecting our third child. And, you know, not everything happens as expected. God is so faithful bringing us through this, but the doctor had said that some of my blood work didn't quite look normal, so he wanted to do some more and see what happens and put me on some hormones and kind of thing. And so we went through that, and on the morning of March 8th, we had gone to church, and the process of a miscarriage had started. We weren't really sure what was going on, but as time went on, we were for sure that I was in miscarriage at the time. And that was a Sunday morning. So what we do is we get there super early, 7:30 in the morning. All of our team are there. We're preparing for you to come and have church with us in person. And, you know, my husband and I decided, okay, we're just going to push through. We are going to serve and praise the Lord, because what better place for us to be during this really hard, tough time in this fight is to be surrounded by the people who love us and that love God and that we love and that support us, and to surround ourselves with praise and worship. We focus on God and not the tough time that we were going through. And I'm going to speak more about that in a minute, but we really feel like the reason why God brought us through maybe even a quicker speed and we were able to heal at a quicker speed is because we continued and we surrounded ourselves with praise and worship. We focused on God and not focused on what was happening at the moment, even though we were completely aware. Here's the thing. You are completely aware of what is going on, but we turned our attention not on that, but on God. And we praised and we worshiped Him through that tough time. And like I just said, we really feel like that is why, one of the reasons why we got through it as quick as we did. And so in life, here's the thing, we can't be what we call a wimpy Christian. And it is what it means. When life throws all these battles at you, either you're going to stand firm on the Word of God, fully clothed in that armor, or you're just going to be blown down and trampled under the enemy's feet. So, point number one, our faith means preparation. Point number two, the fight is never won alone. Excuse me. Remember back in verse 14, Abram grabbed 318 trained men. God never intended for us to live this life and walk alone. When Jared and I were going through this miscarriage, we were surrounded by our team. I remember that we told Pastor Todd and Pastor Josh and our worship team what was going on, and they surrounded us in prayer. I remember we were in the side building. This is when we were in our old building, and I sat there, and our pastor knelt on his knees crying before the Lord, praying for our family and just for the Lord and the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us with His comfort and peace, and for either the Lord to save this child or, most importantly, to be with us in the passing. And that leads me into the other thing. Pastor prayed for the Holy Spirit to be with us. In John 14, verse 16 and 17, says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. This is Jesus' words. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you." And so we were able to go through that time because the Holy Spirit walked through it with us. So point number two, the fight is never won alone. Going on to number three, victory is assured. Victory is assured. Jesus won the victory once and for all. We know that. But here's the thing, and I feel like I say that a lot. Here's the thing. If I do, here's the thing. But in life, we will not win every battle. But because Jesus won, we won. You see how that works? Because Jesus won, we're not going to win every battle in the physical, but because Jesus won, we win. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." You win, even in the physical, in front of your face, on paper, you don't win. But you really do win because Jesus won for you because of His blood that He shed, and He defeated the enemy. And on that third day, He rose again to bring new life, new promises, new love, the faith that can get you through this tough life. You do win in the end. It's all about perspective. So number three, victory is assured. Point number four, you have a heart for the captive. And here's where, when Abram's nephew Lot was captured and he heard his own flesh and blood had been taken by the enemy, he had a special place in his heart for Lot. He went off to battle. He didn't think twice. He knew that the Lord was on his side. He went off to battle. He got his trained men, so he didn't go at this alone, and he defeated the enemy. God can use your battles to help those who are walking in the same tough battle as you once were. God has used this terrible time in our life that we see physically. He has used Jared and I to minister to those who are walking through the same thing, the loss of a child. It's a feeling that you've never known before because you start beating yourself up and thinking that you did something wrong. And I'm here to speak to those right now who have suffered the loss through a miscarriage and to say that I know that with a deep-rooted faith, God can pull you through. God can bring you through it. Even on those days where you feel like you can't make it, He can bring you through it. If you turn your eyes to Him, you praise and you worship. You don't focus on what is going on at the moment, but you focus on Him and the way that He will bring you with His Holy Spirit and walk through you in that difficult time. You can make it through. You know, I know other people who have experienced other things that I don't even know how to minister to others who are going through that thing. And because they have walked through it and God has brought them through it, they are able to have a heart for the broken, a heart for the captive, and therefore minister. If you humble yourselves, if you are transparent with those, God will use your toughest times and turn them around for good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You know, that's the thing. There's so much superficial stuff that's going on in our world today that people long for transparency. That's why I try not to worry about being too perfect or, you know, not too many things saying the, here's the point, whatever. You know, because I'm real. I'm a real person. I'm just not just a person on a camera who has it all together. I'm not that. And so I'm here to be transparent with you, with all my little mess ups and imperfections, because it's like we're having a conversation. And that's what people are longing for. They really aren't longing for the polished, uniform standard of things, just so every hair in place. They're looking for the brokenness, honestly. They're looking to see that they are not alone, that they're human, that they're not the only ones that are hurting, that you feel too. So I challenge you, the things that you can look back on and say, oh my gosh, that was so tough. I don't know how we made those mortgage payments. I know that we had a dollar left in our checking account. My family's here. We've been through that. But I can stand here and say that we never missed a mortgage payment. We tithed, we gave of our, what God brought up to us, we gave back. We gave of our time, our talent, our treasures, and He provides. I can stand here and say that. Can you? You can stand there and look back at a time that God provided for you in those times, that He walked you through it and He saw you through it, and you can stand there and encourage the person who is standing in the place where you were. And you can say, hold fast, be faithful, love the Lord, praise and worship Him, believe that He will carry you through it. It's about transparency. It's about humbling ourselves and getting down on the level of some of those who we might not want to associate with because they don't look the part. We are here to minister to everyone and show everybody Jesus' love, because that's when God can use us. So you got to remember Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's physical attacks, yes, but there's a lot of spiritual attacks going on also. But you got to remember that when the fight comes, you have already prepared in your deep-rooted faith. You don't fight alone. This life is not made to go alone. Jesus needed people. He had 12 disciples. He surrounded himself with friends and family so that he didn't have to go at it alone, because he knew what God was calling him to. Number three, victory is assured because Jesus won. And when you believe in him and trust in him, you have already won. Number four, you have a heart for the captive. You bring yourself down from your high spot sometimes. I just feel like I'm harping on that a lot, but it's just so easy. I fall short. I fall victim to it, that I think, oh, I don't have time to share. But you do. You really do. Realign it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how he can use the hard times in your life to love those around you and to really give them the love of Jesus that they deserve, that you have accepted and that you deserve. I feel like I'm being a little harsh here, but it's true. I've had to learn the lesson, and I learn it daily, honestly. Even in parenting my children, I got to reassess, take it all in, show them the love of Jesus. But it's how we teach our kids and we teach our friends and family members and the people in the grocery store that Jesus prevails over all, that you can get through anything. Okay, I'm going to move on. And you remember that it's not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities of the dark world that you are fighting against. You stay true. You stay strong with the armor of God. And I'm going to leave you with this. God wants us to look around and count our blessings instead of focusing on what we do not have. I basically said that about 15 times earlier. This is again to recap it. He wants us to fix our eyes on him, not on the work of the enemy, because he plans to bless us and to bring us increase. Don't waste your time on what the enemy has stolen. Invest your time. I almost said waste your time on Jesus. No, we don't waste our time on Jesus. We invest our time on Jesus. We don't waste our time on worrying. We don't waste our time on complaining. That's another big one in our house we are all trying to work on right now. We invest our time and we focus on our time on praising the Lord, even if it's a thank you, Jesus, I love you, and you go on about your day. So I'm going to pray for you. I know that we are in all different parts of life, and I just hope and believe that something I have said today and I have shared with you rings true in your heart. Here we go. God, we love you. I thank you for every person that is watching me and has joined me today. I thank you, God, that these words do not fall on fallow ground, that you plant these seeds and that you water them and they will reap a harvest. God, that they will see Jesus, that they will allow you, Holy Spirit, to speak to them in the deep parts of their heart, God, that you will give them strength to share those hard times and those battles that they have gone through, that maybe in the physical they didn't win. God, but they won in the end because they trust you and that you get the glory in the end. I thank you for this time together, and I ask you that you would bless the rest of their day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And one more thing, Numbers 6:24-26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you, and may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. See you next week. Thanks for joining us.